guys, this is Michelle Lin from Academic Life and EM, and today we are launching a new concept here on the site called Author's Insight, and we have the author of, or two authors, of 24 authors, that's impressive, of a multi-center study published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2014 talking about what should be the first-line imaging modality for patients with undifferentiated pain who you suspect kidney stones. And this is a comparative effectiveness study, three arms looking at ED bedside ultrasound, radiology ultrasound versus CT as the first line imaging modality, looking at three primary outcomes about missing high risk diagnoses with complications, looking at the cumulative radiation dose, and looking at cost. With about 2,700 patients, 900 per arm roughly, they had amazing follow-up rates at about 3 or 5% only lost a follow-up. And the bottom line was, across the board, no matter how you sliced it and diced it, ultrasound is by far the best first-line modality for patients in whom you suspect kidney stones. So that's talking about radiation dose, you're talking about pain scores, missing high-risk complications, all of it. So welcome to the video here. I would like to welcome here, we have no banners because everyone knows Dr. Rebecca Smith-Byman from UCSF in the Department of Radiology and Dr. Ralph Wong from the Department of Emergency Medicine also at UCSF. It seems a bit biased here. We're all UCSF, but welcome to the superstar team.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, well, yeah. So let's just jump right in because I am not a researcher. I am primarily a clinician educator, and I would love for us to kind of talk about the bottom line of how we use the results from your study. And interestingly, even though people were randomized into ultrasound EM, ultrasound radiology, and CT, still about a third of the patients in the ultrasound arms still got a CT. And I'm trying to figure out, can you help us decide who should get that CT after the initial ultrasound?
So let me just give you a little bit more background about the study. So the study is called a pragmatic trial. And what that means is you're studying care in actual clinical settings rather than in sort of the more idealized setting. So in our project, we said, what if patients were randomized to get the first test of one of the three arms you described? The first test being CT, ultrasound by radiologist, or ultrasound by emergency medicine physician. And then let care continue as it would without intervening on any other part of the project. So our question was very specific. Does that first test influence outcomes? And the place that we were starting from was where pretty much everyone in the emergency department who has a symptom looking like kidney stones in the past was getting a CT scan. The last number of years, almost all of those patients got a CT scan. So we're questioning whether if we change that and start with one of these other tests, but then let care progress, would we see differences in outcomes? And I'll admit we were a little bit nervous about it because we were really changing care for two-thirds of our patients. And as you described beautifully, there were really no major differences in outcomes. We didn't miss more things by starting with ultrasound. Patients didn't get into complications and much less radiation exposure. So the question that you've asked is a slightly separate question. Our study answered the question, starting with ultrasound, is that a good place to start? And the answer was a resounding yes. It makes sense to start there. But as you mentioned, about a third of patients went on to get a CT scan, and that varied dramatically across sites. For some sites, we had 15 clinical sites in the trial across the country. Very few patients went on to get CT scans. And other sites, a large number of patients went on to get CT scans. And while clearly some of that was driven by patient factors, meaning there was a need to get other imaging, some of that was driven by physician preference and being uncertain that they wanted to rely on the ultrasound, maybe because it was a relatively new process to start with the ultrasound. Most patients didn't go on to get CT scanning, and those that did tended to have a non-diagnostic ultrasound. So patients who had a clear diagnosis on the ultrasound were less likely to go on to CT than patients who were undifferentiated after the imaging. There are some other patient factors that are important that we're studying, but what we basically did is leave it to the clinical judgment of the physician caring for the patient to decide if it was necessary, and relying on that as the primary basis. The caring physician said, I do or don't need additional imaging, resulted in no difference in outcomes. And so I can't really answer your question right now about when you need to go on to get a CT scan. But again, it varied a lot across sites. A lot of it had to do with site-specific preferences. In our study, patients were all at high risk for stones, so we asked the enrolling physicians not to enroll patients who they thought had acute appendicitis or acute cholecystitis or aortic pathology. We said we don't those patients are not the patients we'd like in our study. We want patients at high risk of stone. So in patients at high risk for stone, starting with ultrasound and then going on to additional imaging at your discretion seems to work very well.
Ralph, any thoughts on this?
Right, I would just add one or two comments. One is that if you had point-of-care ultrasound first, you would tend to get CT more often than if radiology ultrasound was performed first. And I think that speaks to the physician confidence of point-of-care ultrasound. And hopefully this study will promote point-of-care ultrasound and allow emergency physicians to be more confident in that modality and order CT less after a point-of-care ultrasound. The other point I wanted to make is, as Rebecca said, serious alternate diagnoses were rare. In our study, I think it was somewhere around 5% of our subjects had a serious alternative diagnosis, like appendicitis or diverticulitis. That might be the population that you would want to get a CT in to try to answer your question. But as Rebecca said, that wasn't the point of the study.
Fair enough. Have you actually incorporated, I've been reading a little bit about the stone score, to try to risk stratify or give yourself a bit of a pretest probability for a patient to have a kidney stone. I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of integrate that with the ultrasound and your study findings to perhaps guide clinicians moving forward.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that. And Rebecca and I have worked on a manuscript to look at the stone score using the stone trial data. I would say that it seems to work pretty well. I think the next step is to look for other tests that you can combine with the stone score to really increase, maximize, or actually identify patients with kidney stone reliably and exclude patients with a serious diagnosis. So I think that those studies are upcoming. I would say that the stone score probably right now is not ready for prime time, just that in the sense that it hasn't been validated extensively or subjected to impact analysis. But I think it's a good start to think about using ultrasound and perhaps risk stratifying patients using a score or physician gestalt.
Great. Well, two things kind of come to mind in your comments, which are interesting. One is you mentioned about high-risk diagnoses such as cholecystitis and aortic disease. Maybe we should be bundling our bedside ultrasounds looking at those also, and we could knock a couple more out that you might be worried about. And the second issue, I don't really remember anymore, so we're going to table. Oh, I do remember. When I read the study and I talk to our residents, the one thing I tell them is, like, listen, about 1 in 3 times will you be getting a CT? So really start with the ultrasound. You shouldn't be doing the CT every single time. So at least with this first shot, you could save 2 people a CT out of 3. That's fantastic. Great. So question number 2 I had about generalizability. Whenever I look at these huge multi-center studies, one, I'm just befuddled by the amount of paperwork that must have happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I look at generalizability across the sites. And across the board, if you look at the different arms, everything was pretty evenly distributed. But what I was interested in was the cohort that you had about 40%, 40% of patients had previous stones, and you only had about a 60% incidence of those with microscopic hematuria. In my mind, that's not kind of the usual patient profile or cohort that I would think. And just wanted to know your thoughts about your cohort.
So I could take a stab at some of those. First, in terms of using ultrasound for patients more broadly for those other indications, it sounds reasonable. Our study didn't have enough patients with those alternative diagnoses to really add any information to that discussion. We had a dozen patients with these diagnoses that you mentioned, and that does not have enough statistical power to tell you whether ultrasound performed by emergency medicine physicians is good or not good, but certainly seems like a very worthwhile study to do. And I think our study really lays the groundwork for doing that by saying you can study this in actual clinical work. It doesn't really impact clinical work in a negative way. It has a very positive impact, and you don't need to get a CT scan on every patient. I think, in general, it's become the norm to just get CT scanning on every patient. And the study says you don't have to, and you're asking about other diagnoses. I don't know if it'll work or not, but certainly it seems like it's worth a try. In terms of the generalizability, we worked in 15 large academic medical centers, and I think the results are highly generalizable to those centers, with those kinds of centers, with the main caveat is our collaborating physicians all had expertise in doing emergency medicine ultrasound. So they were all trained. They self-identified as being competent in doing it and being certified in doing it, being allowed to do it at their institution. So these results would not pertain to people who have not gotten that that qualification and training. I think there is more consistency currently in radiology ultrasound, and that we all have gone through a very standard program where all emergency medicine physicians have not, only those who have self-identified and have gone through the training. So the results are generalizable, I think, to anyone who has had that training. For the last question, you were saying that you thought the distribution of lab findings, past medical history in our cohort was different than you suspected. If we take the example of hematuria, I think our cohort is the largest cohort of patients who present with suspected kidney stones that's been described. While I agree with you, we had thought that more would have hematuria. The data don't pan that out. It suggests that not as many have hematuria as you might expect. And so we have a lot of ancillary papers that we're going to try to explore some of the lessons in our cohort about how patients with stones present, what kind of pain they have, how the pain resolves, how many go on to get different kind of surgical treatment versus pass the stones spontaneously. But some of the things we're learning are not exactly what we had anticipated to begin with.
I would just add about patients with a past history of stone. If you've had a first episode of stone, you have about a 50% chance of having another stone within just a few years, 5 years. So we know it's very common, and other large studies that have been retrospective, for example, the Chris Moore's derivation set where he derived the stone score, where he had about 5,000 patients that he looked at retrospectively, the prevalence of a prior history of stone was something like 1/3. Versus our cohort, which was prospectively collected, but had a prevalence of about 40%. So I think those numbers are very similar. I think we see a lot of patients with a prior history of stone. It's actually very telling that our physicians wanted to enroll these subjects with a prior history of stone because, you know, some physicians would say, I don't ever get a CT scan on patients with a prior history of stone. But we all know that that's probably not true because many patients get repeated scans, like 2 or 3 or 5 scans in a year. So I think it was important that we included prior history, and it didn't surprise me that it was 40% of our cohort.
Yeah, we have a saying that I've heard a lot, which is CTs beget more CTs, which you never want to hear. So don't do the first one. So the other follow-up question I had to generalizability is that you actually excluded, and I totally understand this reason, you excluded obese patients, primarily, it sounds like, because of the quality of the ultrasound image just might not be as good. And so you excluded men greater than 280 pounds or women greater than 250 pounds. But we know not all, like, 280-pounders are all kind of distributed the same. And so in some cases, I would assume would be good. But any thoughts on what to do with these patients? Because, you know, you have, like, diabetes clinic day, and they all file into your ED, and then you're like, oh, should I just CT them all, or what's your best recommendation on that?
So you're right. We wanted to give ultrasound a fair chance to begin with. And those patients just are quite obese. So we're talking about patients with BMIs above 30, even 35. So most patients who are just high BMI but not over 35 were included in our study. It depends on what height you use. But if you're talking about doing emergency medicine point-of-care ultrasound, and the person looks like someone you'd be able to scan, why not just try, right? If you find the stone, you're done. If you start to look and realize you can't find the kidney while you're imaging, then you got to think that's a non-diagnostic scan and stop there. So we don't really have anything to contribute among those larger patients, but there's no reason to think that ultrasound can't work in some of them. Just as you said, there's different distribution of body fat, and if all the fat is right over the kidneys, your chance of seeing the kidneys are low. If the person's very tall and more average size across the midsection, then I think you can probably try. I don't know, Ralph, how you feel about that.
That's exactly how I feel. You just take a look and see what you see. Try to do your best and be honest. And if you don't get a quality study in which you're confident, then try to get another test that can help you.
Yeah, I wonder if you have a high enough pretest probability, such as someone with 3 previous stones, this feels like my exact stone, I'm wondering if you even need imaging at all in that scenario. So I'm just curious what you guys were thinking. So last question, if you don't mind, which is, you know, this article, which, by the way, I looked up, has an altmetric score of a ginormous number of 220, and rising. It went around all of the different social media sites, a lot of people discussing this, including actually Annals of Emergency Medicine's most recent Journal Club issue was on this paper. But one of our partner groups is called Urology Journal Club. It's a Twitter-based journal club called EuroJC is the hashtag. And they went roundabout on this a couple of months ago. And a lot of these were primarily urologists. And I was wondering, since this paper has come out, if you've gotten any sort of feedback from them, because the bottom line I kind of got out of them was like there were three general camps of people, because I think drivers or CTs are not only from the emergency department, but also from the services that we want to try to refer them to. But one group says, you know what, I am happy with a KUB and a bedside ultrasound. Another group says, wait, what about this new low-dose CT scan, which is like a renal stone protocol? And then the third one was like, you know what, just get the CT. That was a pretty small minority, but still, there were three camps that I saw, and I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts.
So I think those camps are pretty descriptive, and fear of sort of stepping out from what the answer is supposed to be. I'd like to just also raise another camp, which is sort of a subset of a let's just get CT scan camp. And that camp is a camp of physicians who own the CT scanner and see doing the CT scan is, there are no downsides to it, and by the way, it's quite profitable. So there are a lot of drivers to why we do CT so much, and a big part of the driver is uncertainty, and we have this unrealistic belief that can always answer the question. That's sort of in radiology in general. We love CT scanning. Our referring docs love CT scanning. So partly we use a lot of CT because of that, but partly we use CT scanning because it's highly profitable. So I think it's very difficult to separate desire for doing so many CT scans when it's so profitable from the sense of what's best for the patient. And if I were the patient, I think ultrasound's a really good way to go. Now, that's not to say that there aren't situations where urologists really need a CT scan. You know, in these complex cases when they're trying to get the anatomy of where all these stones are located and what kind of procedure they're going to do, they're more comfortable in general looking at reformatted CT than they are at ultrasound, and I completely understand that and believe they should use CT when needed. But on the other hand, they also do a lot of surveillance CTs to just follow a single stone as it moves from the collecting system down the ureter to the pelvis, where I see no value whatsoever. So I think many urologists have been very positive about the study and think it's really a good thing for the patients. And the physician at UCSF, Dr. Marshall Stoller, who runs our stone clinic, is a really big fan of imaging with ultrasound. He thinks it really helps his patients. And I know he feels very empowered by the results of our studies to talk about this. So a lot of urologists think it's a great idea. And then urologists think, you're right, why don't we just get a CT? It's easier. I would spend a second addressing the topic of the stone dose, if that sort of seems important. There are many ways to image patients with CT for stones that use lower dose. Those are well described, but unfortunately they're not well used. Even in the context of our trial, they weren't well used. There was a national study published by American College of Radiology a few years ago that looked at the average dose for renal stone protocol CTs, and those doses were the same as an abdominal CT. These low-dose protocols were not being used. And thus, while it's possible we could do these studies with low-dose, while we should be doing these studies with low-dose, we're currently not. And so I think minimizing these radiation doses is a mistake. Current CT for stones have doses that are much higher than we need to use. And thus, I think starting with ultrasound really makes a lot of sense. But I think there's a tide that has to move, and we have to change practice. And I think coming from the emergency department is a great place to start. But the urologists are absolutely another place that we really need to try to influence their use of CT to start with ultrasound whenever possible.
Yeah, I just want to add a few things that I had heard from some of the urologists that I work with in regards to point-of-care ultrasound. I think one of the ways that point-of-care ultrasound has to move is to really ensure high quality in our images. I think this study really puts a spotlight on point-of-care ultrasound, and it's our responsibility as emergency physicians to make sure that the studies are done well and that everyone's trained to do them and that the studies are labeled and both kidneys are looked at and the bladder is looked at and the studies interpreted correctly, and all of that is recorded in the medical record. I think that's, and to have quality assurance around all of those processes. Our images are being looked at now by urologists and radiologists, and they have to be of high quality. I think that's kind of one of the takeaways that a urologist who was kind of saying, you know, Ralph, I get these studies, these images in clinic, and I really I don't know what they are. I don't know which kidney it is. They're not labeled. And so that's got to be something that changes as well.
Yeah, well said. I think the quality of these images are going to be crucial. And I think after, you know, initially when the ultrasounds first came out and FAST, you know, the FAST exam really made an impact in at least trauma care, I think this is also one of these landmark studies that shows that point of care ultrasound really is making a difference, at least shifting away from getting CT for these patients. So let's wrap up, and then I'd love to hear about your thoughts, which is, you know, what's not in your paper? You know, what's next, or any interesting stories that you could share with us?
So as I said, we have a lot of papers that are ongoing, and I think Ralph sort of alluded to the importance of quality. And I don't mean that quality is limited to being assessed in the emergency department, but I think it'll be really interesting to look at quality between different physician groups, let's say who did the ultrasound, or among the emergency medicine physicians or among the ultrasonographers, to see what variation there is in quality, variation in accuracy, and see what we can do to make the exam better. So the way an emergency medicine physician interprets an ultrasound is different than the way a radiologist interprets it. I think we tend to look for the stones directly. I think you guys tend to look more for the obstructing hydronephrosis. And I don't have an answer about which one's better, but I think that would be really interesting to tease apart in our data how to do better. I think we have a couple of papers coming down the line in terms of cost, and I think those will be really interesting to see as well.
Great.
Well, any other secrets you could share?
All I know are manuscripts that I'm working on, which are some of the things that Rebecca has already mentioned, and also how ultrasound interacts with pretest probability. So those are really it.
Well, great. Thanks so much for your time. And again, I want to applaud you guys for doing a huge multi-center trial looking at not so much diagnostic accuracy and the fact that you have to touch and see the stone, but more looking at clinical outcomes of patients. Does it really even make a difference right now looking getting CTs in most of these patients? Probably not. You could probably get away with just an ultrasound. So kudos to you for doing this great study, and I look forward to your future studies coming up. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.